Hey everyone, and welcome to a deep dive that's a little different today.
Oh!
Well, we're diving into my own stuff.
Your own?
Yeah, from the Over My Coffee blog.
Interesting.
Early Rising Kids, remember that one?
Uh-huh. Yes, of course. The one where you analyze yourself.
Exactly. It's like I'm on the therapist's couch, but for parenting advice.
I like that.
So the blog post covers everything from, you know, sleep cycles.
Right.
To creating the ultimate sleep sanctuary.
Uh-huh.
But we're going deeper today.
Deeper.
Yeah, the why behind the tips.
Ooh, I see.
Why does bedtime consistency matter? How do we make this work for real families?
Aha, the real world application.
Exactly. And that's where I think your expertise comes in.
Well, I'm happy to dig into the science.
Perfect. So first up, a fact that blew me away while I was writing.
Okay, hit me with it.
Kids' sleep cycles are way shorter than ours.
Oh, that's right.
60 to 90 minutes compared to our 90 to 120.
And no wonder they're up before the sun.
Makes you want to crawl back into bed.
So think of it like a merry-go-round.
Okay.
The kids' cycle spins much faster. They hit those light sleep phases more often.
Uh-huh. So more chances to wake up.
Exactly. Even little things can disturb them.
Which is why the blog talks about tracking their rhythms.
Right. It's not just when they wake up, but the pattern underneath.
Finding those windows where a tweak can make a difference.
You got it. Like the life environment.
Yes. Temperature, light, and noise. The blog calls it building a fortress of slumber.
I love that. It's huge for everyone, but especially with those fast cycles.
Makes sense.
Like, you wouldn't sleep well in a sauna with a jackhammer outside.
No way. So it's about making a space where sleep can happen.
Exactly. A cool, dark, quiet room helps that natural sleep-wake cycle.
That circadian rhythm thing.
That's the one. And you mentioned light. That's worth emphasizing.
Especially in the evening, right?
Yes. Even small lights can mess with melatonin.
Like those night lights.
Even those. It tricks the brain into thinking it's daytime.
Delaying melatonin and messing up their clock.
Precisely. And speaking of things that mess with sleep, we've got those early rising triggers.
It feels like detective work figuring out what wakes them up.
It often is, and the culprit is often right there.
Like what?
We talked light, but inconsistent bedtimes are another big one.
Oh yeah, the blog post mentions that.
It's like changing time zones constantly.
Poor little bodies.
It throws their internal clock way off.
And then there's us, the parents.
Oh, how so?
The blog says how we react can actually reinforce early rising.
Uh-huh. The attention, even if it's loving, can be rewarding.
It's tough, but it makes sense.
It's about a neutral response, not adding fuel to the fire.
So we've got the mini cycles, the triggers.
Right.
Now, how do we actually set them up for sleep success?
That's where the environment comes in.
And the Over My Coffee post gets pretty specific, right?
It does, because creating that sleep-conducive environment is key.
Like laying the foundation for a good night.
Exactly. We're talking temperature, ideally 68 to 72 degrees.
Got it.
Blackout curtains to banish the light.
And white noise.
Yes. A cocoon of tranquility blocking out distractions.
Sounds very zen.
It's all about a sanctuary where sleep can flourish.
I like that. And what about naps? The post mentions those.
Naps are strategic.
Strategic napping. Okay.
Ending that last nap at least 4 hours before bedtime is key.
Why is that?
It builds up that sleep pressure, making it easier to drift off at night.
Like priming the pump.
Exactly. Plus, it prevents overtiredness, which can actually make early rising worse.
It's all connected.
It is. Like a web of sleep, everything influences everything else.
So, we've got the haven, we've tackled the triggers.
Mm-hmm.
But what if they still wake up early? That's where boundaries come in.
Boundaries, right. That's where things get tough.
Yeah, the tough love section of the blog. Tough on us parents, too.
I see it more as setting expectations, creating security through predictability.
You know, knowing what to expect reduces anxiety.
Even with wake-up time, it gives them a roadmap.
Like my wake-up light strategy.
Tell me about that.
My kids stay in their rooms till the light turns green.
It's visual. I like it.
It's been a game changer. They know the day has officially begun.
It gives control while maintaining those boundaries.
And it taps into that visual schedule thing for younger kids.
Right. They might not get time yet, but they get the sequence.
First green light, then breakfast.
Exactly. So we've covered a lot about the kids.
But what about us? We need sleep too, right?
We absolutely do. And it's often sacrificed in parenthood.
The blog post really stresses that.
It's not selfish. It's essential to be the best parent you can be.
Self-care for the win.
Exactly. For a long time, I was running on fumes myself.
Me too. Coffee was my best friend.
But reading your post was a wake-up call, pun intended.
I committed to an earlier bedtime, 9.30, even a few extra hours make a difference.
And science backs that up. Sleep deprivation hits us hard.
Our thinking, our mood.
It all suffers. Being well rested helps us handle those early mornings.
Like putting on your own oxygen mask first.
Exactly. It's not just quantity, but quality too.
And the blog talks about adapting to their natural rhythms.
Sometimes working with the early mornings is better than fighting.
It's a mindset shift.
It is. Shifting work, using that early energy.
Finding what works for your family instead of some ideal morning.
I love that. Speaking of what works, let's talk routines.
The transformative power of a consistent morning, even if it starts early.
It's about order in the chaos.
The blog has tips, laying out activities the night before.
Ah, yes. Preparing ahead.
Designated spaces, visual schedules.
It helps them understand what to expect.
Like a little roadmap for the morning.
Exactly. And predictability is so important for young brains.
It's not about rigid timing, but the sequence.
And involving them in creating the routine can be powerful.
Giving them ownership.
Precisely. Making it a collaborative effort.
So we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have. Those early birds are quite the topic.
But before we move on, I want to emphasize something.
What's that?
This isn't about forcing kids into some sleep mold.
It's about understanding them as individuals, right?
Exactly. Every kid, every family is different.
That's why that initial tracking of their rhythms is so important.
It's gathering clues, like a sleep detective.
I love that analogy, to understand what makes them tick.
Or in this case, wake up.
Yeah.
When I first started writing about this,
yeah,
it was out of pure desperation. My kids were up at dawn.
I feel it.
I was running on fumes. I needed answers.
And that's what your blog provides. Real-world solutions.
Solutions born from the trenches of parenthood.
Not just theories, but what actually works.
And one key takeaway is the power of a calm and consistent morning.
Even when it starts earlier than we'd like.
Creating order in the potential chaos.
Imagine, a child wakes up before the sun, brain's still fuzzy.
Yeah.
And bam, lights, noises, demands. It's overwhelming.
No wonder meltdowns happen.
It's like a tiny tornado.
Oh, I know it well.
Oh.
But a calm routine.
It's a gentle breeze, a smoother start.
Predictability, ease.
Even if the day starts early.
Simple things help. Laying out clothes the night before.
Designated play spaces. Visual timers.
Ah.
All in the blog post.
Finding what works for your family and sticking with it.
Consistency is key. It reduces power struggle.
It's a roadmap, even if it starts earlier than we'd prefer.
Speaking of things we'd prefer to avoid, self-care.
The dreaded S word. It's hard to prioritize when you're exhausted.
But it's not selfish. It's crucial.
To be our best for our kids.
And for early risers, getting enough sleep ourselves is huge.
You've written about this a lot.
What advice do you have for parents struggling to find that time to rest?
Be kind to yourself. We're all doing our best.
That's so important.
Sleep often goes first, but even small changes help.
Small changes, okay.
Maybe a firm bedtime, even if it means less adult time.
A relaxing routine to signal it's time to wind down.
Exactly. Self-care doesn't have to be grand gestures.
Sometimes it's the small things.
A few minutes of silence with coffee.
A walk, a podcast while folding laundry.
It's about finding those moments of respite.
I love that. Moments of respite, wherever you can find them.
You know, I've started to enjoy those early mornings.
Really?
Quiet breakfast with sleepy kids. Getting work done while they play.
You've shifted your perspective.
Working with the early bird instead of against it.
Finding the flow.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Not rules, but what works for you.
I love that. Empowering parents.
This whole conversation has really highlighted the importance of connection.
Connection? In what way?
With our kids, with ourselves, with those quiet moments.
Even amidst the sleep deprivation.
It's about cherishing those small moments.
Snuggling, breakfast. Listening to their chatter.
That's what makes it all worthwhile.
It really is.
As we move on, I want everyone to remember, they're not alone in this.
Early rising is tough, but we can do it.
With knowledge, patience, self-compassion.
And for those who want more, visit overmycoffee.com.
You'll find the full post, tons of resources.
And a supportive community.
But before we dive deeper.
Yes.
A thought-provoking question.
Ooh, I like those. What is it?
What if we took all these principles, the rhythms, the rest, the routines, and apply them to all areas of life, not just sleep.
Wow, that's fascinating.
How would work change if we honored our energy levels?
Our relationships, if we made space for restoration.
Our well-being, with that same intentionality.
It's a challenge to be more mindful.
Maybe those early mornings are a nudge to slow down.
To listen to our bodies.
To create a life that's more balanced.
It's a beautiful thought.
Maybe those little early birds are onto something after all.
Maybe they are.
Welcome back to our deep dive, everyone. Still exploring early rising kids.
And, you know, it's amazing how much we've uncovered already.
Just from one blog post, right?
It really shows how much depth there is to this.
And something that keeps coming up for me is...
Is what?
How much it comes back to understanding our kids as individuals.
Oh, absolutely. There's no magic sleep formula, especially with these early birds.
Every kid is different. Their temperament, development, sleep patterns.
Which makes that tracking of their natural rhythms so important.
Like we were saying, it's gathering clues, being a sleep detective.
Yeah, to figure out what makes them tick, what works for them.
When I first started writing about this on the blog, it was pure desperation. My kids were up before the rooster. Every day.
I've been there, believe me.
Running on fumes. I just needed something that worked.
And that's what I love about your approach. It's from experience.
From the trenches, not just theory.
And you found ways to not just survive, but thrive with those early mornings.
Well, thrive might be a strong word some days, but we're getting there.
Progress, not perfection.
Right.
Exactly. And a big part of that progress has been the power of a calm and consistent morning routine.
Even when it starts earlier than we'd like.
Creating order in the midst of the chaos.
Think about it. A child wakes up, brain's still half asleep.
Yeah.
And they're hit with lights, sounds, demands. It's sensory overload.
No wonder they melt down.
It's like a tiny hurricane.
Oh, I know it well. But that calm routine.
It's like a gentle guide, a smoother start to the day.
Even if the day starts early.
The simple things help. Clothes laid out the night before.
A special play space, a visual timer.
All those things are in your blog post.
It's about finding what works for your family and sticking with it.
Consistency, that's the key. Fewer power struggles.
A roadmap for the day, even if it starts earlier than we'd prefer.
And speaking of things we'd prefer to avoid, there's self-care.
Ah, that S word, so hard when you're exhausted.
But essential, not selfish.
To be the parent our kids need us to be.
And for parents of early risers, getting enough sleep ourselves is crucial.
You've written about this a lot on Over My Coffee.
Any advice for parents struggling to find that time to rest?
First, be kind to yourself. We're all doing our best.
It's true. We can't be superhumans.
Sleep often gets pushed aside, but even small changes matter.
Like what?
Setting a firm bedtime, even if it means less adult time.
Or a relaxing routine to signal it's time to wind down.
Right. Self-care doesn't have to be big, fancy things.
It's the small moments.
A quiet cup of coffee, a walk, listening to a podcast.
Finding those little bits of respite throughout the day.
You know, I've even started to enjoy those early mornings.
Oh, how so?
Quiet breakfast with my kids. They're so cuddly then.
Ah, sweet.
Getting some work done while they play.
You've really shifted your perspective.
Working with the early wake up instead of against it.
Finding the flow.
That's the key, isn't it? Not rules, but what works for you.
It is. And that's what I love about your blog. It's empowering.
This whole conversation has been about connection, I think.
Connection.
With our kids, with ourselves, with those quiet moments.
Even when you're sleep deprived, those moments matter.
It's about cherishing the snuggles, the quiet breakfast.
Listening to them while they play.
It makes the challenges worth it.
It does. It truly does.
And as we keep talking, I want to remind everyone listening.
Yes.
You're not alone in this. Early rising is tough, but we can handle it.
We can. With the right tools and support.
Knowledge, patience, and a good dose of self-compassion.
For more help, overmycoffee.com is a great resource.
You'll find the full blog post, more tips, a supportive community.
A community can make all the difference.
But before we get into the next part of our conversation, I have a thought-provoking question for you and for everyone listening.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What is it?
What if we took all these principles, the rhythms, the rest, the routines, and applied them to everything in our lives, not just sleep?
Wow. That's interesting.
Think about it. What if work honored our energy levels?
What if relationships made space for restoration?
What if we approached all of our well-being with that intentionality?
It's a challenge to be that mindful, that in tune.
Maybe those early mornings are a sign, a nudge to slow down.
To listen to what our bodies, our minds are telling us.
To create a life that's more balanced, more aligned.
It's a beautiful idea.
Maybe those little early birds are trying to teach us something.
Maybe they are.
And we're back, continuing our deep dive into early rising and those little sleep detectives.
It's remarkable, isn't it, how one blog post has led to all this.
Analyzing my own Over My Coffee post has been really insightful, I gotta say.
What surprised you the most, seeing it from this new angle?
I think realizing the advice is just the starting point.
it's the why behind it, right? Not just following blindly.
Yeah, it's understanding the how, the science of kids' sleep, their development.
And how we as parents fit into the picture.
It's about empowering parents, giving them the knowledge to make choices.
Choices that work for their unique situation, not some cookie-cutter solution.
Exactly. And realizing there's no finish line in parenting, no perfect outcome.
It's the journey, the ups and downs.
Some mornings are smooth sailing, others feel like a tornado hit, and that's okay.
Embracing the chaos, the small victories, learning as we go.
You know, going through this, it's clear sleep isn't just physical, it's emotional too.
Oh, absolutely. It's tied to our ability to handle our feelings, stress, connect with others.
And for kids who are still learning those emotional skills, sleep is even more crucial.
Which is why that calm sleep environment goes beyond just the physical stuff.
It's about feeling safe, secure, loved, even as they drift off.
Like a cozy nest where they can recharge and grow.
And that nest goes beyond the bedroom, right?
Of course. Routines, boundaries, loving parents, it all contributes.
And that's what I hope people get from Over My Coffee.
What do you mean?
It's not sleep manipulation. It's building a foundation for their whole life.
A foundation of health, happiness, all those good things.
Fostering a love of sleep, respecting those natural rhythms.
Understanding rest is as vital as play, learning, all of it.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, inspired by my own writing, I have one last question, something to ponder.
I love a good question. Go for it.
What if we took everything we've discussed, the rhythms, the rest, the routines,
okay,
and applied it beyond just sleep to our whole lives?
Wow, that's a big one. What do you mean?
How would our work change if we honored our energy?
Our relationships, if we made space for restoring ourselves?
What if our whole well-being got that same intentionality?
It's a challenge to live that mindfully.
Maybe those early mornings, those frustrations.
Yeah.
They're a sign to slow down, listen to ourselves.
Create a life that feels more right, more balanced.
It's a powerful thought, isn't it?
It is. Maybe those little ones are wise beyond their years.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone, for exploring with me.
It's been a pleasure.
If you're looking for more, the full post, resources, that supportive community.
Don't forget the community.
Head over to overmycoffee.com. You'll find it all there.
And remember, no matter when your little one wakes up,
you've got this.